short video last night from the band this week. That's the healthy block. We're in PR for the league.
Wow. So right, there's eight of them now. There's actually, I think, three different plans. But the most would be.
Yeah. Okay. So there's eight, but he's got four marked out. We okay. can.
Proposed them. Two was just between scrutiny and four or third. If you want to do four, then you kind of keep space on Aubrey to do eight if you really wanted to focus on the whole length. But another option is do three, just welcome down to what you want to focus on. If it's just the third avenue to scrutiny, it's past high school thing.
Well, so what they do is right before the cornerback, that's where the corner, that's the gym right there where John, I looked at it. I looked at your map. And it looks like you got. Because I live right here.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's one coming right out of my driveway. And I told him, like, you know what? I'm okay with it.
Well, we could play around with it, find a good location for it. But that was kind of the even space.
And I probably did not share with them. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the points.
Yeah. I'd be more concerned if you're saying, I don't want them because I live there.
No.
So that would be that's your factor in your personal better. But,
around the school
down 4,000.
There should be.
Well, there's a sidewalk already up by the school by the fields right there. But there's people walking down 4,000 all the time.
Well, because a lot of kids walk to school, but that works. So it's kind of like, you know, 10th and walk and
right.
They use those.
All right. You guys ready? Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's regular City Council meeting, September 25th, 2023. If you'd all please rise for a short private invocation. Asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. This is a portion of our agenda. We allow citizens to provide input to the City Council in item 1D. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand. I'll allow you to come to the microphone and speak up to 5 minutes. Is there anyone? Okay, hearing none, I'll move to item 1E, which is roll call. We're now down to 6 council members. 5 are present in person. I see somebody's on the iPhone.
That's me, Angel Garza, on the iPhone.
Okay. Excellent. Now we'll move to item 2, which is approval of tonight's agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 2 is the approval of tonight's consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Our new, we're going to move to item 4A, which is the swearing in of officers Renee Sandoval, Mario Mercado, and Brock Denny. Our new police chief, Dave Rim, has been very busy working on filling slots that are open in the police department. And Dave, was there something you wanted to say, or did you want to wait until I swear in these officers, or?
I'd like to say that first, I'm pretty proud of all these guys and all the work that they've done and all the stuff that's here tonight. It's been a long road for them to get here in this position, and I really appreciate their dedication and commitment to the cause. Thank you.
I'll take all of these. Your families are here, so I'm going to do this one at a time. So first, I'd like to have Renee Sandoval come forward. You want to face the audience, please? Thanks, Renee. Renee was born in Oxnard, California. He was raised in Othello, where he graduated from Desert Oasis in 2014. Renee's worked at Les Schwab and in farming until he began his law enforcement career. He started at Coyote Ridge Correction Center, then went to work as a corrections deputy for the Franklin County Sheriff's Office until 2022, when he was hired on as an officer at the Granger Police Department. In May of 23, he successfully completed the Basic Law Enforcement Academy. He's beyond grateful for the opportunity to continue his law enforcement career at the Othello Police Department and is ready to serve the community he grew up in. Hobbies include sports, spending time with his family, and going to the gym. Pinning him tonight are going to be his parents, his mother Sylvia Quiroz, and his father Rene Sandoval. Now I'm going to administer the oath of office. Renee, if you'd please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Renee Sandoval, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the laws of the State of Washington and the charter and ordinances of the City of Othello, Washington, and abide by the Law Enforcement Code of Ethics as adopted by the Othello Police Department, that I will faithfully and honestly discharge, that I will faithfully and honestly and impartially discharge, the duties of a police officer during my continuance as such.
My continuance as such.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Renee. Welcome to the police force in Othello. We could have Renee's mother, Sylvia Carroz, and his father, Renee Sandoval, come forward, please. Congratulations. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make this official right now. I'm going to sign this oath of office. And then I'll have you sign. Thank you, Renee. Is there anything you want to say?
Yes, growing up, you know, though. And they, I've always looked forward to working since I was a young kid. Kind of grew up here. I would spend my time doing ride-alongs, spend a little bit of time to dispatch. I'd take different routes before I came here, but I can say it's kind of made it, came back home, and look forward to serving the community.
Terrific. Well, we're glad to have you, Renee. Thank you again.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Our next officer we're going to swear in tonight is Brock Denny. Welcome, Brock. A little bit about Brock tonight. He was born in Whitefish, Montana, and he grew up in Columbia Falls, Montana. He graduated from Columbia Falls High School in 2016, and he worked in construction before going into law enforcement. Then in August of 2022, and graduated this couple weeks ago, September 14th, 2023, from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy. His hobbies include motocross and snowboarding. And we are very happy to have Brock join Team Othello here at the Othello Police Department. Brock, have you made up your mind who's going to pin?
My girlfriend was able to make it, so she's going to do the honors.
Okay, do you want to introduce her?
Yeah, my girlfriend, Wendy Hector.
Wendy Hector? Okay, so let me swear you in, and then we'll invite Wendy to come up. Okay. Please raise your right hand, Brock. I, Brock Denny.
I, Brock Denny.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And of the laws of the state of Washington.
And the laws of the state of Washington.
And the charters and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington.
Charters and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington.
And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics.
And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics.
As adopted.
As adopted.
By the Othello Police Department.
By the Othello Police Department.
That I will faithfully and honestly and impartially.
That I will faithfully and honestly and impartially
perform and discharge the duties of a police officer during my continuance as such.
The duties of a police officer during my duties of such.
Okay, I'll say it again. Discharge the duties of a police officer.
And discharge the duties of a police officer
during my continuance as such.
During my continuance of such.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Brock.
Thank you, sir.
Wendy, do you want to come forward, please? And terrific. Anything you want to say tonight, Brock?
I just want to
thank the mayor, chief, for the opportunity. I don't have much time in Washington, but I grew up in a small community that's about the same size as Othello, and just the first couple times I visited, I was definitely, it brought me back to like my hometown, just seeing how tight the community is. So I'm very excited and just want to thank everybody for the opportunity.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank Welcome you, to the Othello Pizza Party.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Next, Mario Mercado, do you want to come forward? I'm going to give you a little bit of information and background on Mario. He was born in Toppenish and raised in Quincy. He graduated from Quincy High School in 2017. And then he graduated from Big Bend Community College in 2020 with his AA degree. Later, he graduated from Central Washington University in June of 2023 with his bachelor's in criminal justice with honors. While attending school, he worked as a security officer for the Yakima Valley Memorial Hospital and was there until he was hired by the Othello Police Department. He graduated September 14, 2023, just the other week, a couple weeks ago, from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy, where he was honored with second place in academics and second place overall in performance. His hobbies include spending time with his family, fishing, gym, and outdoor activities. Attending him tonight are his parents, his mother, Luz Elena Gutierrez, and his father, Mario Mercado. Let me administer the oath of office. Can you please raise your right hand, Mario, and face the audience? I, Mario Mercado.
I, Mario Mercado.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And of the laws of the state of Washington.
And the laws of the state of Washington.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington.
And the charter and ordinances of the city of Othello, Washington.
And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics.
And abide by the law enforcement code of ethics.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
As adopted by the Othello Police Department.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
That I will faithfully and honestly.
And impartially.
And impartially.
Perform and discharge.
Perform and discharge.
The duties of a police officer.
The duties of a police officer.
During my continuance as such.
During my continuance as such.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mario. Thank
you. Yeah.
So could we have Luz Elena and Mario Mercado come forward, please? Congratulations. Yeah, thank you. Hey, Mario.
Well,
want to say something?
Yes, sir. So I just wanted to say I'm very thankful for the opportunity, Chief and Mayor, for believing me in the beginning. You guys made it clear that you wanted me in this department, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for my family, my friends who supported me along the journey. This is a dream come true, and I'm very excited to be a part of Othello and the great department. Excited to be here.
We're excited to have you as a part of the team, Mario. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Welcome. So we move along in our agenda tonight. You guys don't have to stay if you just came for the swearing in, but we're going to move along in our agenda and we have a public hearing. Welcome to stay, anyone who wants to.
Hey, Mayor.
Yes, Angel.
Mayor and Council, I'd like to recuse myself from item B on public hearing on Sand Hill Comprehensive Plan and Amendment and Rezone.
Okay. Let it be noted for the record that Councilman Angel Garza is recusing himself from this agenda item B, 4B. And we'll open this public hearing at 6:18 p.m. And tonight we have with us our Community Development Director, Ann Henning, and she's going to present an overview of the decision before the City Council tonight. Ann?
Thank you. So you've heard this, you've seen this item a few times before. Now it's the time to take the official action. So the Planning Commission did hold a public hearing and made a recommendation that it be approved. And just as a kind of a reminder, this is the property in between the residential zoning north of Sand Hill Estates and the light industrial zoning south of Lee Road. It's a little strip of open space urban reserve left over from the past. That open space urban reserve is a holding zone until utilities are available and it can be used for urban use. So it's the utilities are available to that site now, so it's definitely time to rezone it to an urban use. The proponent has requested R4 residential zoning, which gives the most flexibility. That's the highest density urban zone, which makes a good transition between the lower density below and the light industrial to the north. I don't know if I have anything else that I really need to point out. So there are some findings that you need to find, and I included those within the ordinance that I drafted, just so that there's no question having to do with the change of conditions. That's one of the things that you should find in a rezone and comprehensive plan amendment, that conditions have changed. Conditions have definitely changed in this area since 1995 when it was originally zoned as open space. The other things you need to find are that it's in the public interest, benefits the public welfare, and that it's consistent with the city's zoning scheme. I guess with that, I would answer any questions.
Council, do you have any clarifying questions for Ann tonight? Pretty familiar. We reviewed this in August, and again, and then the Planning Commission has had a number of meetings and discussed it, made their recommendations, and this is the Planning Commission's recommendation. If you have no questions, then I'd like to open the public testimony. Is there anyone here from the public who would like to testify in either support or against this rezone and ordinance change to our comprehensive plan? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close. Oh, yes. Okay. Please state your name and address for the record.
Chris Doro, 850 East Hemlock. Basically, I'd like to comment about what was the majority of our discussion on the Planning Commission. And it actually didn't have very much to do with this property. But the future changes of comprehensive plan, and I think it would be important for me to inform this council about what we talked about as it may impact other annexations and other things in the future. We spent a lot of time trying to get information and reviewing what was done in 2000. And I was especially aware of that because I lived on the very end of Olympia Street when a lot of this stuff was talked about then. And there were a number of things that were already in the way of why things were done the way they were and why they were done later. Noise was a major factor in growth of Othello as it encroached upon our heavy industry. And for the future after 2000, they tried to address that with the comprehensive plans in the long term. We found some deficiencies there in that. What we found and what we felt needed to be accomplished is that around the areas that you would like to protect for heavy industry, we would need about 1,320 feet. So it's 25 in our thing, in our recommendation, but 1,320 is a quarter mile, and that's the space you need to have that of light industrial zoning coming up, butting up against heavy industrial zoning to prevent concerns that have been brought up in the past in terms of noise reduction and other concerns. So for the future comprehensive plan, we wanted to recommend that be the case, and that it may also then make sense to have heavy industrial areas protected past 14. The reason why is we do not see the need for heavy industry being without having rail support to be heavy industry. That can only happen between what is now Broadway and 14. You can't have rail put in anywhere else. We did not think that it'll ever be allowed across the field. So with that in mind, in our current comprehensive plan, from Lee Road, there's heavy industry that extends all the way out from 14 to Highway 17. We didn't think that was a good thing to keep in the reserve for your next comprehensive plan in 2026. And this would also negate the necessity, 1,325 feet of light industry on the other side of the road, which I think is a lot more flexibility for future developments. So we kind of looked at this circumstance through that microscope. And in our opinion, it didn't encroach upon the areas we wanted to have in light industrial, as it approached our areas one of the home for potential heavy industrial, and the importance of the profitable fellow with that. So to us, this was a no-brainer recommendation, as it didn't impact that. But as you make some decisions about future annexations and to review the comprehensive plan in 26, we wanted it somewhere on record that after reviewing getting reports from heavy industry, that we thought that was the best approach to have that industrial area north of Lee, that heavy industrial area with transitional zoning of 1,320 feet, which is a quarter mile, transitioning from that heavy industry to light industry, stopping it. You guys want to ask a question? Recommendation.
You, Chris?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, is there anyone else who has any comment about this potential rezone and comprehensive plan designation? Okay. All right. I'll close the public comment and now look to the City Council. Do you have any further discussion about this? Any comments? Want to make? Okay. The action before the councils is a motion to adopt ordinance 1601 amending the comprehensive land use designation and zoning of the Sand Hill Estates property from open space urban reserve to R4 residential. Do I have a motion to adopt that?
I will make a motion to adopt that.
Thank you, John.
Second.
You've already read it, so I don't need to read it.
Second.
Yeah. Is there any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. So for the record, five council members voted yay. And there was an abstain vote from council member Angel Garza because he recused himself.
Yes.
Let's go further into our agenda. Tonight, I understand that Sipley Fiber has a presentation. Christina Germain, St. Germain. Are you on the call, Christina?
I am. Can you, I actually have my face on camera now for you as well.
Terrific.
I'm with you. And Tanya's gonna help me with advancing the slides. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you via Zoom. I live in central Idaho, and so it's quite a trip, and I appreciate technology to save me from the road miles. I'm here to visit with you tonight about a new fiber optic network that Sipley Fiber has planned in Othello, Washington. Next slide. There's three primary objectives for our conversation tonight. I want to give you an overview of Sipley Fiber and kind of who we are, what we are, and what the project is about. We're real interested if there are some unknowns or some concerns that you have so that we can be proactive in addressing those concerns and really talk about the benefits of creating a partnership and working together to educate your residents on, again, who we are and what to expect during construction. Thank you. Sipley Fiber was established in 2020 by a group of industry leaders who have decades of experience in the telecommunications business. And they really came together prior to COVID, mind you, with a goal and a mission of simplifying and elevating people's connected lives every day. And then COVID hit, and the realities and the needs around simplifying and elevating, providing capacity so people could function online was incredibly important and continues to be important today. Next slide. Since 2020, Sipley Fiber has taken a copper network that was previously operated by Frontier Communications in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. It was a copper network that really hadn't been taken care of very well. And the network had about 30% overall backbone with fiber. And now today we are over 60% with both transport, backbone, and distribution to end users with fiber. That investment has been over $500 million. We provide services for residential, commercial, and wholesale customers. And today we have both union and non-union employees across the four state. And we have offices throughout the four state area within service markets that we serve. So we have local staff working on local networks and participating in local community events. Next slide. Copper was the primary medium for decades for communication. And what fiber offers is incredible resiliency, energy efficiencies, and capacity. Fiber will serve the community for decades to come. The advances in data capacity are simple plugins to routers within the central offices. It's really incredible to see a central office building that was based on copper. It could be rows and rows of routing cabinets with copper wire all strung out. It's kind of a maze. And now we can take in a 3 foot by 4 foot by 8 foot space, the electronics in cabinets to move terabits of data. And so the resiliency around fiber networks, which we'll see that if you just go to the next slide, the map is really telling. This is the green is what Sipley Fiber purchased Frontier's network and what they had fiber on. You can see really it was just a north-south route between the Portland and Seattle markets. And today, the photograph on the right, you can see that we have created miles and miles of fiber network loops that offer network redundancy and offer diversity so that when one of those trunks gets cut due to somebody running a backhoe or a storm or a wildfire, there are resilient and redundant pathways, alternative pathways for the data and voice traffic to be transported along the fiber network. We have, additionally, we have over 150 other carriers and resellers, so small ISPs across the network. So this is, you may have heard the term open access. Other providers are able to utilize this transport network. So what fiber brings is equal up and download speeds, fast. So Ziply Fiber is currently offering 5 gigabits over 5 gigabits of service plans. We are in some markets offering up to 25 synchronous. I can't imagine needing that much data, but for extreme gamers where latency is an issue, we're selling the 2/2 and 5/5 gigabit plans. There are studies within the fiber industry that suggest that fiber optics to a home increases property values. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, there's nothing more important now than our ability to perform online as a result of COVID, the pandemic that drove people home for school, work, and healthcare. Next slide. Yakima is under construction in 2023, and it's our 100th new fiber market and our first edge out. And what I mean by edge out is telephone companies have established exchange areas, and Ziply Fiber purchased the exchange areas and was certified through the FCC to be able to offer communication services within those. Think about that as a telephone exchange. And we are now not only looking within our established exchange boundaries, but now looking outside at markets where communities are unserved and underserved, have less access than allows good performance. And that's what we refer to as edge out. Othello will be an edge out community for us, which we're excited about. In 2020, when they took over Frontier Communications, the net promoter score, the NPS score, was in the negative numbers. And we're currently in the upper 70s. I've been told by leadership that Costco is like an 88 NPS score. And so Ziply Fiber being in the upper 70s for scoring percentile and consumer happiness and demonstration of technical service support and responsiveness is really phenomenal in the industry. Next slide. We know that building partnerships with local governments is critical to our success, both in the short term and the long term, right? We have learned so much over the years in constructing in markets. And in partnership with you, your community follows your social media. And we want to be able to work together with you to distribute information, to share with your community about, again, who is Ziply, what's going on in their community around construction, so that we can increase information and education and minimize that frustration around disturbance. We have a hotline, which I'll share with you later. Our goal is to provide complaints, a response within 24 hours. We really are building a responsive construction process as well as regular maintenance. Next slide. We have community development managers that are scattered across the markets that we serve. And Lindsay Madsen is the gal who will be the community development manager in Othello. And we're going to have several touch points throughout the construction process. So again, the community is well informed and aware of what's going on. And we look forward to working in partnership with you to help distribute that information. Next slide. Here's an example of a social media post that our team provided to the city of Walla Walla and the conversation that it generated. So really, again, an example of getting information out. We anticipate, expect that your community follows you and they don't know who we are. And so we would like to partner with you in providing some content, again, information and educating your community around what's going on, who we are, and how they can get a hold of us. Next slide. We want to make it easy for you. So it with the sandwich boards, prior to building in a neighborhood, we will distribute door hangers so that residents within the neighborhood affected will be aware a week ahead of time that we're coming and what's going on. And we have a dedicated construction information website. Next slide, please. Where if something goes awry, which inevitably something will, it's a construction project with a utility, something's going to happen to frustrate someone. And this construction feedback page gives our leadership tools and information to understand what's happening out on the ground with our construction teams and vendors that may be working for us. And the negatives are really tracked closely. Every 2 weeks I get a report and I scroll through and find where problems may have arisen. And I reach out to the cities that were affected to make sure that you're not hearing from your citizens. We really want your folks to direct the complaints to us and not you. You have enough to deal with in your regular lives around city performance and public infrastructure development, deployment, and decision-making. Next slide. So again, together, it's really about together. We can provide you with facts and information. We are willing to come out and have conversations with you. If more than a Zoom and you want to have an in-person conversation, we'll make that happen. We want to make sure that your residents are aware. We want to make sure that we're leveraging your local media resources as well. And again, those community development managers will be part of chambers. In some communities, we are sponsoring sport groups, engaged in youth communities with libraries or youth centers. There's one great story that I'm really proud of. We provide no-cost connectivity to a teen center in a rural community so that kids have a safe place to be after school. And we would love to celebrate these things with you. And so if you're interested in working with us on a groundbreaking event or a ribbon cutting, some way to celebrate that. If you have a community fair, it's probably a little bit late. Community fairs are typically August, September. But if you have a late community fair, we want to know so that we can celebrate that with you and in joining your community as part of the provider of communications. Next slide. One of the really fun things that I'm proud of Ziply Fiber in is that we offer low-income households with incredible service plans. Update that slide. Now it is a 300 over 300 megabit fiber internet plan, a free router, and no-cost installation for households that qualify for the Affordable Connectivity Program. And I did some quick research on your community using the census data. And the school district report shows that 96% of your student population is eligible for a free and reduced lunch program. That is an automatic qualifier to the Affordable Connectivity Program. The census data that I found shows that about 88% of the households in your community have an internet connection. And so if you think about if 96% of that 88% of your community is having a hard time affording reliable, high-speed broadband internet connections, this Affordable Connectivity Program is a tremendous resource for them. And the FCC has made the qualifying and portal process very user-friendly compared to 6 months ago when they started. We've actually had folks get qualified within 10 minutes online and then connected through our sales folks. Across the board, outside of these affordable connectivity programs, our rates are very reasonable. A plan of 100 over 100 megabits is $20 a month. The 300 over 300 megabit plan is $40 a month. And 1 gigabit up and down is $60 a month. The 5 gigabit up and down fast internet, low latency for the extreme gamers is $300 a month. So someone that's interested in that level of connectivity can really get a good deal. In addition, we are an eligible telecommunications provider, which allows us to provide work with schools and libraries in your community and rural healthcare facilities for the FCC E-rate program that provides discounts through the universal service fee that we all pay on telephone lines. Next slide. This is the process as we look at communities and prepare for a construction project. We've identified the build blocks that we are going to bring fiber to. We have used the FCC location fabric to identify the number of addresses within those build blocks. We have identified what the permits are and pole attachment requirements are. These builds are going to be primarily aerial in the first phase. We'll look at where are the community anchor institutions, library or government buildings. And that's one thing I'd like to make sure that you let us know if we're missing some and where other opportunities are. And then also around any permits, if there's special permits required for us to be able to work in your community. We currently believe we have all of the pole attachment permits well underway with your electric utilities and expect to have construction starting in the next couple of weeks. Next slide. This is the city limits of Othello, and you know your community well better, much better than I do. The green blocks are the build blocks that we have identified to bring fiber to your to residents. It'll be a primarily aerial distribution. In phase two, we're really interested in where you would like to see additional fiber covered, or if you know that there's going to be a new subdivision, so that we can make sure that we're working with those folks ahead of time. If there's places where we need to look at buried infrastructure, where the poles are not readily available for pole attachment, that's where really having some great feedback from you and your community of where you would like to see us in addition to the places that we're planning to come to. My team leader, the Vice President of Regulatory and External Affairs, Jessica Epley, is a great contact. Ryan Lutkin is around marketing and that community development manager planning events. And Rob Vigil is the overseer of the actual construction vendors and the construction process. So we want you to have all of their contact information there. So I've given you a lot of information about kind of us and the process that we see. And now I open the floor to any thoughts, comments, questions that you may have of us.
City Council.
So I have a question. So the way your map shows and your slides here shows that it's less than 1,000 addresses in the city of Othello. If you're going to come in and spend the time and why don't you cover the city? Your map shows you're not even in the areas that right now doesn't have any kind of high speed that I know of. In the new housing areas, we've got a couple new housing sections that's being built. Your map shows that you're not going anywhere near those. So why don't you just cover the whole city instead of just 1,000 addresses? That doesn't even cover half the addresses in the city.
The planning group determines where they are interested in going. And so that's why we're here, right? Is to learn where else would you like to see fiber? You what I'm hearing is you want fiber everywhere within your community.
Well, if you're going to inconvenience the community for the 6 or 8 weeks that it takes, just cover the entire city so everybody can have access to it rather than just 1,000 addresses. That's why I'm asking why you're not covering the whole city.
My understanding from the planning group is that they're targeting sort of high dense residential areas for the initial entry in a community for edge out to provide residents with the benefit of fiber. They're also prioritizing areas where we can do aerial deployment, where there's existing utility pole infrastructure, where it's easy, right? So,
but your map doesn't show where it's high density. Don't you have to have a line, access to a line to tap into the fiber? So if you was to run down an alley, everybody mm-hmm. that runs down that alley would have access to that fiber, right?
Yep.
So it's not even running through the high density areas.
I'm not a planner, sir. My role is communicating what we're going to do and where we're going to go and how to best communicate with us. So I'll bring that back to planning and say, look, Othello is very interested in expanding this opportunity throughout the entire community.
We are very interested.
Okay, I will bring that back. Want more.
And then down South Broadway.
South Broadway. So really, literally, you want the entire community. How can we work together to do more? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll ask that question and return the answer to Taney.
Any other comments, questions, council? Thank you, Chris. Appreciate your presentation tonight.
Again, thank you.
Let us stay in touch. And if you have any new developments, please let us know.
Very much so. I will keep you informed. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Yep. Item 4D under our current business now is a 4th Avenue traffic calming summary. Tonight, our city engineer, Sean O'Brien, has been doing some research on this issue at the request of the council, and he has some information.
Okay, thank you, Mayor, Council. One of the previous council meetings, there was some direction from council to look into some traffic calming measures along 4th Avenue, as being kind of the priority. Little unique situation where we do have a really long stretch of 4th Avenue, which was kind of expressed to me that was the main section that was of concern from Scutney to 3rd Avenue. because we don't have pedestrian facilities down there, and because it is a bus route, some of the other traffic calming tools that we have used as far as traffic circles and the elevated crosswalks didn't really fit into those locations. But so we looked at numerous other items, and speed humps was the one that seemed to be the best fit. To talk with the police department, with the school district, with fire district to see if they had any comments. And there was really nothing that changed the opinion of the speed humps being the option. So I provided you with some information on what speed humps are. We would make sure that they cover the traveled lanes and then taper down. They have about a 12-foot stretch where you go up and down and have anywhere from a 2 to 3 inch lift in that section. The recommendations are 250 feet or up to about a 600-foot separation, which I'll get into that a little bit, which is what drove the options that I provided to you. And any case, so I guess not knowing what council, and even after talking to a couple council members, didn't know if you have varying degrees on how much of an area you want to focus on and how intensive we want to go with the speed humps. That's where I gave you several options. If the focus is just the stretch between Scutney and 3rd Avenue, that was kind of the basic one. If we just want to do this as a pilot project and kind of try them out, we could put a couple in there. We would have them 250 to 300 feet back from the intersections. And then that would leave about a 600-foot space in between the two. We could throw a third one in there if that's what you wanted. But there was also some talk that, going by the high school is also There's high speeds there. So if we want to focus on doing the stretch, stretching this all the way out to, say, Hemlock or Main Street through an option of doing up to 8 speed humps in there. Middle ground would be to keep them spaced out about 600 feet apart and just do 4, which would have 2 between Scutney and 3rd, 1 near the softball fields, and then 1 near the track. So I can take... The budget would allow us to build up to, would allow us to build all 8 if we wanted to, but wanted to get kind of some input from you guys on how excited you are about these, or if you're like, well, let's try this out, try a couple and see how they perform. We have traffic counters. We'll be putting those up here fairly soon, get this project bid out, so we'll get some pre-speed hump data, if that's what the route we go with, to see what the speeds are and whatnot, and then we'll gather some information after they're installed to see how far they're effect, how effective they are, and how far the distance, how effective they are as you go away from them. So I can answer any questions you have.
I have a question. And you kind of explained this to me, but could you kind of explain how these are put in so that they're, you know, one of the concerns is with snow plowing, that these aren't going to get scraped right off.
Yep.
Okay. So how are they constructed so they aren't?
So in the packet, there's a little detail of an example of how I think we would construct them, but we would go in and we're at the limits of these of the speed humps, we would grind down the pavement 1.5 to 2 inches so that when we build the hump, when we come and tie into the existing asphalt, we still have thick asphalt there. Instead of just putting the hump on top of the existing asphalt, where we'd be tapering down to 0 depth, which the asphalt has aggregate in it. It doesn't just go down to 0 depth. So if you do something like that, it starts raveling over time. And then yes, when you're snow plowing, you might catch that and actually start pulling up some chunks. But what we're proposing to do is they would come in and grind a couple feet on a tapered length so that we continue a certain thickness of new asphalt so that we avoid that issue. They would also have some striping on top of them, and also a speed hump sign ahead, so that hopefully when a driver not paying attention has a couple of warning signs to make sure they don't hit these at 40 miles an hour. But then again, if they hit them at 40, I don't think it's lesson learned. But we will try to make them safe, and they're made so that you should be able to drive over them at 25 miles an hour, but you'll have a bit of a jolt, and hopefully this does encourage traffic to slow down below the speed limit.
Each one of those that you have there has a sign right next to it. Yeah. So when the guys are out from Public Works doing the snow plowing, they can clearly see by the sign that the speed bump is there. They can raise their...
Well, with the 12
buckets
distance,
accordingly.
I mean, it's tapered, rising 2 to 3 inches over 6 feet. Should be able to float over it fairly easily.
They can be cautious in that area when they're doing it.
Hopefully they're not doing 25 miles an hour either.
Yeah, slamming into it.
Think we could actually get somebody to come in to do just 2. Or would we have a better chance of getting somebody to do it with more?
Well, the grinding is the one thing, and the surface markings and putting the poles in, which I guess we could possibly do that with our own staff. But those things would have some benefit of buying in bulk. But Public Works does have several other small asphalt projects, some trail work down at Tagaris, and a sunken area on 8th Avenue. We've got 4 other locations that they have a decent amount of asphalt work that we were going to put together in this and still be a quote project. And they have money budgeted for that, and we have money budgeted for traffic calming. So it'll all be within existing budgets. But we do plan on making it the speed humps with 4 other asphalt sites.
Park each end in this. What do you think? Four? Like he's got to lay it out there? Corey's very happy with
it. I'm all with eight.
But
I was thinking just trying two, but
that is a speedway. I think that the less distance you have between them, the less they have a chance to go slow down, go over it and speed up, and then slow down and go over it and speed up.
More so than more effective they are. It's just you as being the elected officials, if there's backlash that people don't like them, then if you have eight, now you have eight places that people don't like them if you want to try out a couple. But they're used in other locations. Public Works Director sent me a picture of a couple of them in the Kennewick area and near his daughter's house. And they'll be effective, and we'll make sure we gather some information to show how effective they are. So if you want to do a few, get that data before you make a decision to make more. We're leaving that up to you. Just give us some direction.
So I'll make comment on that. I'd be willing to bet that the people that actually live on 4th Avenue would love them. It's the people who don't live on 4th Avenue who's using it as a racetrack that won't like them.
Okay. I'll drive a different way.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I have no problem with suggesting that we do four. We can always add more later. So my suggestion would be four in the locations you have right there.
Okay. The one with option two. So there'd be two between 3rd Avenue and Scutney, one near the track and one near the softball fields. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it's not effective, if those two aren't effective on 4th, which can't imagine they wouldn't be, but we can add two more between 4th Avenue and Scutney.
Well, or 3rd Avenue.
No,
what is it? Going to
Elm Street. Yeah, between Elm Street.
If we did four, then we could add the other four if they're really effective. Or if they're not effective. Yeah. If they're still speeding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll have a number of traffic counters put up. And so, I mean, we can find out if the cars are speeding up between the humps, if they're spaced at about 600 feet apart, but it's definitely going to lower their speed. They're not going to get back up instantly to the speeds that they're doing, the excessive speeds.
So you're saying that they're going to be 600 feet apart, possibly? With the four.
Your blocks are about 300, they'll be less than 600 feet. The two okay, between...
Because I was going to say the spacing recommendations that you have, that they have... for them is between 250 and 500 feet.
And there's some agencies that said 600 feet was what they'd recommend. Okay. But anything will be effective. But the further you're spaced out, you will have cars probably speeding up a little bit
and then
slowing back down.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
To four?
Yeah. So there's a consensus, four of them.
Yeah.
We don't need a motion.
No. Okay. Sean? Thank you. Let's go to item five, unfinished business. Do we have any tonight? Any new business tonight?
Sod's going in this week at the park.
The sod?
Going in this week?
At the basketball courts,
they have ordered the sod, and yes, I think they possibly tomorrow, but they'll be starting to put the sod in. Yes.
What kind of what are we going to be left with underneath the playground area? Is it just going to be gravel for now until spring when the temperatures come up?
Correct. They're going to continue right now. I guess to give council an update, the playground equipment, they originally estimated about 6 weeks of installing it. I think we're in week eight and they're still working on it. There's just it's a very large playground. And it's the largest that they've done. But it was about 3 weeks ago, originally we were told the rubber surfacing that'll go in had to stay above 40 degrees while they're in, or had to stay above freezing while they were putting it in. About 3 weeks ago, they said, it actually needs to stay above 40 degrees. And it's about a 4 week process with that. So once the playground equipment gets done, then we can place all the gravel. Once the gravel gets placed and compacted, you can start the rubber process, and that takes 4 weeks. And we're just, the first layer goes down. It's the majority of it, but it's all the same color. It goes real quick, or goes quicker, but there's a lot more volume of it. But that can't be exposed for extended periods to the elements. It's a cushion, but it is not made to withstand the elements. So the second layer of rubber is where you'll have all your graphics. So you have a lot of joints with that. That takes less volume, but it's a lot more artistic and that work. And they said that has to go. If you put down the first layer, you got to get that top layer on. But that does take more time, and you have lots of joints. And if we get into those low temperatures, below 40 degrees, they said you'll have potential for the joints not to bond up and hold together. And so it's just not worth the risk to try to squeeze it in prior to winter. And so we have talked with the contractors, and it's just, they're still working on the equipment installation. And so we will get everything prepped, gravel placed down, and then the rubber will have to wait till springtime once we are consistently above that 40 degrees.
Are we going to get it for the same cost, or are they going to jump the cost on us?
Nope. The contract, the rubber costs generally jump or change annually in the March to April timeframe, and they will order that probably more in January, get it coming. And so we've discussed that, but no, there will be still within the annual rates, and our price is established. I mean, they gave us a price for the installation. So no concerns right now of any kind of product increases. Awesome.
And they are going to put up a temporary fence to prevent people from being in there and using.
So yes, we've talked with, we're still working on getting some costs, but we're looking to probably put a temporary fencing up and splitting those costs three ways. The Wildwood, who is leading, I mean, they're the equipment supplier, the contract and the equipment installer, and the city probably split, and it's about a $12,000 to $15,000 cost. But I think we definitely want them to do it. It's their liability, we believe. But getting this project out to bid and having it spread over winter is probably why we're considering doing a cost sharing on that.
Okay. So I have a couple of things. First one, tomorrow is our first budget meeting. It's a general budget. And council members, John Lawless, Danae, and Gina are on tap for that. And then on
Wednesday
is... Okay. Yeah, they'll all be here at noon. Also, Oscar Munoz is leaving the Public Works Department to take a job at the Adams County Sheriff's Office. His farewell is tomorrow at 2 p.m. At the Public Works Department, in case any council members want to attend that. The fire truck will be here next Monday night at 5:30.
Got an email today that it arrived.
Yeah, it's in Yakima.
Is it?
There's a couple things that they need to do. They weren't able to do it tonight, but they want to do it next Monday night. So it'll be before the meeting. So it'll be from 5:30 to 6. So if you guys want to come to see our new fire truck, I asked Gary today if we could go on rides. He said no. but no rides, but we can we can take a look at the city's latest $850,000 investment. So that'll be next Monday. And then on October 10th, it will be the second semi-annual fire council meeting. That'll be at the fire district's main station at 7 p.m. And council members Mark Snyder and John Lawless are asked to attend. City Council will also receive tonight. That's all the new business I have. City Council, did you have something, Spencer? No? Okay. We're going to receive the fire department report, the building and planning report, and the planning commission minutes. And with no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:08 p.m.
His email just says the fire, the engine has arrived. Huh? Well, then they were doing pump tests this week. And one of ours failed.
I tried. I said no.